Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
How do you feel about Michael Bennett with the Patriots so far?
Michael Bennett has now been suspended for one game.
Ready for the hot take?
What's the hot take?
He doesn't finish the year with the team.
Dale Arnold.
So you think right now Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback than Tom Brady?
Yes.
And why are the reasons?
The eye test.
You, my friend, are a boob.
He's hot. Hotter than Jimmy G.
Rich Keith.
Dale, step off.
Bob,
stay in your lane.
Bob,
yeah, step off,
Bob,
Dale.
I gotta ask Bob.
Heartfelt goodness. Middays.
You lost your car, or would you run out of gas?
80 miles.
I got it. You're like an hour and 20 minutes in Santa Fe.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We kind of got down the rabbit hole thanks to Hannibal and Mutt last night. By the way, Mutt really built up the surprise special guest at 8 o'clock. You know,
who was the surprise? Was it Hannibal?
Hannibal.
Well, it was a surprise.
Oh, he was going nuts about the build-up. It was, you know.
So that's a big part of it, you know, the tease.
It's all about
that
the
kind of thing. You know, people are like, I got to listen at 8, see who it is.
The payoff might not be as great as the build-up, but...
You're kind of setting up Hannibal to fail in that regard.
You're hyping up
nonstop, and then they're
especially if he then shows up and doesn't have Brady as a top 5 quarterback in the league, but does have Jimmy Garoppolo there.
Which one I don't get.
Yeah, I don't.
You have a much better argument on your hands to say Brady, the way he's playing, the way things are going, he's no longer top 5. That's fine. I don't agree with it, but I could understand that. But to put Garoppolo up there is baffling. I don't really get it.
Yeah, it's when you look at, and we talked about this quick off air, is how do you determine, like, for a quarterback, who's having the best year? Who's the best quarterback in the league? And for me, the biggest thing is touchdowns to interceptions.
Sure. I mean, that's one thing to look at.
That's what I look at.
Yeah, because you want a quarterback that's not going to turn it over. I also think, you know, it's easy to make fun of the eye test, but there is something to that. Like, there's the quarterback that you're watching. I don't even need to see what the stats are. But what quarterback do I think won't crap his pants in the fourth quarter? Like, what guy I rely on?
I was
going to
say, if you turned the question around and just said, pick one quarterback to win the game for you this year. Which guy do you take?
Russell Wilson.
I might be tempted to go with Brady.
No,
based on
which
experience.
I understand. I think this is the first year in maybe 15 that I wouldn't take him. And not that, you know, it's a bad answer, but I just think Russell Wilson's so locked in right now. And he's
playing well.
He's almost playing perfectly. I would have him one and probably Mahomes two. But then thanks to, you know, all of his history, probably Brady 3.
The problem is when you say the eye test and then you don't give us like some like criteria of what you see with that eye test is, okay, is it the intangibles? Is it the things we can't see?
Yeah.
Is it his ability to...
Clutchness. Because clutch, there's really no stat for clutch, right?
Does he have that
clutch?
I mean,
I guess there's like fourth quarter comebacks or whatever, but your team also has to be in a position to have a comeback, right? So sometimes Brady doesn't have as many of those because the team's always winning in the fourth quarter. Right?
It's hard to add comebacks. Last 2 minutes of a game in the playoffs, in a big game, who do you want?
I think part of it, like, do you feel comfortable with that guy as your quarterback? Like, I'm sure for years, Packer fans had Brett Favre, and they were like, ugh, he's going to throw a pick. Or like Tony Romo is a good example. Tony Romo is a guy that probably led the league or is at the top of the league in quarterback rating for much of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He has one of the great quarterback ratings of all time. Tony Romo does.
Yep.
Did you think he was going to win a big game for
Did
you?
Did he ever win?
No.
Didn't win the biggest game ever.
No. I don't know how many playoff games
he won.
That's
one, where,
zero, whatever
and,
it was.
And the question, if we turned it around to you got to pick one quarterback to win the Super Bowl for you this year.
Yeah.
I'm always going back to Brady on
that's
that.
Fine.
Yeah,
I'm going Wilson.
Yeah, I'd go Brady because it comes back to what we've seen Brady do in the past. Mahomes, we haven't seen that yet. We've seen Wilson win a Super Bowl before. So
we have. We also saw him lose one, but I feel like that was play calling. I feel like that was a bad.
We've seen Brady lose three too.
I think he's also improved since then, and Brady's gotten a little bit worse. Not Kellerman, Cliff, or anything, but he's gotten a little bit worse. Wilson has gotten better.
Wilson, See, but then there becomes a problem with that because you then have to factor in who the guy's surrounded by.
Yeah, but I understand if that Antonio to an extent.
Brown, if Antonio Brown's still here,
yeah,
hypothetically, if he's still here, are we not maybe putting Brady in the argument of he's playing just as
maybe,
good?
Maybe, but is Brady still throwing those goal line interceptions?
Probably not. He's probably not.
Just because Brown's on the team, he doesn't throw those picks?
Well, because now he's not forced to throw it. He's not forced to do something that he's trying to make a play because maybe he goes to Antonio Brown rather than trying to throw a wheel route in double coverage to James White.
But I think it's difficult. It almost stops the conversation if you say, well, they all have different receivers and running backs. It's like, yeah, no kidding. Like, that's the way it is. Some have better offensive lines than others. Some have better coordinators than others.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Brady also has the best defense in the league, which puts him in good spots. So if some of these other if Patrick Mahomes got the field position that Tom Brady gets, maybe he'd look even better than he does, right? Like, there's so many kind of variables
here. There's a lot of variables, but the biggest variable that we look at when we're talking about quarterbacks is their supporting cast to determine how well.
Yeah, I know, but then what do we do? What does that quarterback get out of? I mean, we've always said Brady gets more out of his supporting cast than anybody because he doesn't have all the best receivers in the game and the best weapons.
No, but when
he has.
But when you look at Patrick Mahomes. And like Russell Wilson is probably a better comparison
to Brady.
Yeah, because of his supporting cast, you look at them and you go, okay, Lockett's a good player, Metcalf's a rookie, and your expectations going into it weren't like these guys are going to be.
Yeah, he's got no like Pro Bowlers on his roster.
Patrick Mahomes is a different story.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill's only played a game and a half.
Yes, he only played a game and a half.
You know, and so and Mahomes still has 14 touchdowns, one pick. And the second best quarterback rating. Let's go to the stats desk here. Chris Scheim has a hot Russell Wilson stat for me.
Best Russell Wilson stat you can get right now is that he's had six straight games of a passer rating of over 100. It's only happened twice before, once by Tom Brady in the 2007 season and once by Aaron Rodgers in 2011.
Which I would assume was MVP seasons for
15
both.
15-1 and MVP.
Yeah. So there you go.
He's playing
six
great.
Straight.
He's playing extremely well.
And he also runs better than those other guys too. Like, I don't always look at that as like that's the be all end all because clearly it isn't.
But
just as an added
play.
Element,
that's a way to extend the play. Right. If your offensive line isn't that good, when we know Brady's offensive line is a little shaky, him having because he doesn't have the ability to extend the play with his legs, that's something that Russell Wilson has the ability to do.
Exactly.
And Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes does too. Yeah. That's for sure. I think Wilson does a little bit better job.
But I would definitely agree with
offense.
You. If we're talking about the MVP race, Russell
Wilson won
and Mahomes two.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's got seven touchdown passes, but five interceptions.
Yeah. Right.
And five games.
I can't put him ahead of Tom Brady, even though Brady's had two of the worst interceptions I've ever seen him throw this year.
That really is just looking at like the team's record, I guess. Right, because a big part of the quarterbacks, we really weigh wins on quarterbacks as we should.
Right,
they have more control over it than anybody else. But I think you're falling in love with the Niners being 5-0 and putting their quarterback
the biggest stat for me always is touchdown and interceptions.
And in Brady's case, it's 10-3.
Right, because
his quarterback rating is higher. He's got six wins, like Garoppolo. Garoppolo's got five. I understand that. But Jimmy Garoppolo with 7-5?
If he doesn't make those two horrible decisions, rolling out and then trying to throw it back across his body in Buffalo, and the guy comes off and makes the interception, and then
the one was off the hands of the receiver, right? Wasn't there one?
No, he threw a double coverage ball to James White.
Baker Mayfield had two of those last game.
He threw the one in Buffalo where he's rolling out, and the defender comes off of Jacoby Myers, and Brady doesn't see it, interception. And then he throws the one in Washington where he just throws like a jump ball to James White deep down the field. Those two interceptions were poor decisions on his part. If he doesn't throw those, now we're sitting here at 10-1, 10 touchdowns to one interception. We're not probably putting him ahead of Mahomes and Wilson.
Right.
But we're saying, okay, Brady's number three. Right? Would we be saying that?
I bet, yeah. Cause I think you can still make an argument for him being three now, but a lot of that does have to do with what he's done in the past. Because the other part of it, too, is if you're going to compare and you're going to take into account what they have to throw to, don't you also have to maybe take into account the defenses that they have played? And the Patriots have played one defense. They've played five trash teams, and they've played one defense.
And Russell Wilson has not exactly beaten the iron either.
Sure.
They beat Cincinnati by a point. They beat Pittsburgh by 2 points without Roethlisberger.
Right.
They beat New Orleans. Excuse me. They lost to New Orleans.
Yep. That's their one loss.
They beat Arizona. They stink.
Yep.
They beat the Rams by 1 point, and they beat Cleveland by 4 points.
Yeah. They've won all their games by a total of 8 points, I believe, is what it is.
And see, when you
he doesn't have the defense that Brady does.
But
he's going to be in a lot of closer games.
But when Dale does it that way, you then start to go, they haven't played anybody, because everybody sits around and craps.
New Orleans is the team they play, and they lost.
Yeah. Right. But besides New Orleans,
no, but there isn't anybody. There isn't anybody in the league.
So
there's
five teams that
are signature wins, and Seattle and the Patriots are two of those teams. They don't play each other, and they can't play themselves, so it's kind of limited as how many signature wins you can have.
See, and that's why I don't think we should sit there and use that and that's the big thing that people want to use around here, or they want to use nationally. Oh, the Patriots haven't played anybody. But if you start looking at some of these other teams, and you start to go look at...
Who would be, anybody? Who would be in the anybody category? Patriots? Chiefs?
What do you mean the anybody category?
Like, so if you're looking at a resume of team's schedule, and you say, well, they haven't beaten or played anybody, my point is, who would anybody be?
Oh, okay.
Like, the stud teams that you would say, ooh, that's a signature win. So in the AFC, it would only be the Patriots...
And the Chiefs.
Texans?
I don't know. Because the Texans are so... They're that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde team. They go up and put 55 points up against Atlanta, and then they can barely score against the Tennessee Titans.
Okay, so you don't want to put them on there. So that's two teams in the AFC which would fall into anybody. The NFC, you already said Eagles and Cowboys, no, right? They're both 3-3.
Yeah, no.
So no.
No.
Packers, yes. They're 5-1. They have a good defense this year. And they're Aaron Rodgers.
The Packers should have lost to Detroit.
They're 5-1.
At home.
They're 5-1.
But don't we start out, doesn't that, when you start factoring these teams in, don't you have to start looking at the teams that they beat?
But that's what I'm trying to set a baseline here as to what teams you would even consider being good. Packers, I do. Saints, you got to give me Saints.
I give you Saints.
Okay.
I'm not giving you Packers.
Seattle. Yes.
Seattle.
San Francisco?
I don't know. After Dale goes through that schedule, when you think about Seattle and some of the teams that
then nobody's anybody then. Like, that's what we've determined.
Yeah, the Patriots haven't beaten anybody either.
Right.
So
I don't know
where you're going with your... My point is, there has to be somebody. Otherwise...
I don't think there's...
Okay.
I don't know if there's anybody.
I'm losing my mind here.
That's the point,
somebody's
Rich.
Got to be good. Somebody has to be good. Great is a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to be good. There has to be a team that beats a team on Sunday, and you say, ooh, that was a good win. That win counts.
I'll give you Kansas City in the AFC.
So there's two teams in the AFC.
I believe is good.
The NFC?
Here are San Francisco's wins. They're 5-0.
Yes.
Can we establish this baseline first? Can we establish the teams who are anybody? San Francisco, Seattle. See, I would say San Francisco, Seattle, New Orleans, Green Bay.
I would say Seattle.
They would all count. If the Patriots played and beat them, you would say, ooh, that's a win.
I would say Seattle and the Saints.
Oh, my God. You think there's four teams in the NFL?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And San Francisco has beaten Tampa Bay handily. They've beaten Cincinnati handily. They've beaten Pittsburgh by 4. They've killed Cleveland. Handily.
That's a good Cleveland team, though.
Not as good as some people think. And beat the Rams handily by 13 points.
Yeah, I think they're a team.
They are legit.
They count. They're a good defense. They run the ball. And Ryan Hannibal says they have the fourth best quarterback. So what more do you want?
Maybe you could throw San Francisco in there. Maybe I would throw San Francisco in there in the NFC.
So out of 32 teams, there's like five. So... And maybe this is what you were trying to get at before. When anybody criticizes the Patriots schedule, nobody's played anybody because there's only five teams that you would even consider that term anybody.
That's the point that I've been trying to make. Don't criticize the Patriots schedule
until
you start looking at everybody else's schedule
and
you go, well, look at the Saints. Well, let's see who the Saints
have played. But what's really amazing about the Patriots schedule is we knew going in, before any injuries, before anything, that they weren't going to play a real team until probably week 8. Turns out Cleveland's not very good. Mm-hmm. So now you got to go another week.
Right.
Baltimore's fine, maybe not great. So now you go another week. Then you're like, well, what about Philly and Dallas? Well, they both kind of stink now. So now you're getting later and later and later. And then ultimately Houston and Kansas City, I think, are real teams.
And the problem with the other Patriots' schedule is they've played the Jets, who
third-string quarterback,
who had zero wins. The Redskins, who had zero wins.
Fired their coach.
And by the way, their Bills win is better than we gave it credit for.
It is. They're 4-1. I mean, you have to consider that.
And their defense is really good.
Yeah. Their quarterback, less so.
Yeah, not
so
much.
He struggles
and
to play.
And Pittsburgh, they beat a lot of just one-win teams, where when you start to look at some of – that's why I don't think they get a lot of credit, but some of these other teams have only beaten teams with two wins.
Right, and there's those teams that have had slip-ups where they lose to a bad team, and the Patriots aren't doing that. And, in fact, for the most part, with the exception of Buffalo, who is the best team they've faced, they've
pretty much handled it.
Yeah, right.
They've handled everybody.
Yeah.
Do you think that Hannibal, when he was putting Garoppolo ahead of Brady and putting him in the top five, do you think he looked at the fact that the 49ers are second in the NFL in rushing yards per game at 179.8 and 21st in the NFL in passing yards per game?
I think he just looked at how handsome he was.
He's a handsome guy.
Well, he got caught up in that, maybe.
They have run the hell out of the ball this
year. Yes,
they run it. They got like eight running backs. They give it to all of them. And then the defense is good. Like, and that's why Richard Sherman's starting to talk more and more, because I think he realizes that, hey, this is actually a pretty damn good defense.
Their best passing game player is George Kittle.
Yeah, for sure. They do have a great tight end.
But that's their best so you know, the Patriots do pretty well against shutting down really good tight ends.
Is Minnesota better than we've given them credit for? We don't have them on the list.
No.
I don't know what to make of Minnesota.
I'm five good teams in the NFL.
I think it's more, but
I don't think so.
It's not many more. It's not.
So because
you don't have Green Bay on there.
No, I don't think we basically said
at the beginning of the week, there are like six good teams, six horrible teams, and everybody else is somewhere
I thought it was more eight on the high end, eight on the low end, 16 in the middle. That's what I kind of thought, just like to wrap the easy numbers around it. But it might be a little bit less than eight on the top. But I would say Green Bay. Because
you watched that Green Bay game the other night?
Which one? The game with all the penalties?
Yeah, against Detroit.
But maybe Detroit's not horrible.
I'm not saying Detroit's horrible, but
it's still Aaron Rodgers with an above average defense. That, to me, that's a team.
Well, that's a game that you should beat Detroit by 10 points.
And they've also played, two or three games without Devontae Adams, who's one of the best receivers in football. So, I mean, once he comes back, that makes them a whole lot better. I think they're a team.
Julian's in Northampton. Hey, Julian, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm appreciating this conversation.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Two things. Number one, I haven't heard anything about Deshaun Watson. He looks good.
We mentioned it. I think he's definitely in the top five for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I probably tuned in a little late when he's not getting his lungs collapsed.
Yep.
You know, because they can't protect him.
True.
But another thing I want to bring up, you know, this conversation is this talk about, you know, what's your top quarterback? Let me ask another question. Who would you trust most, you know, in a very concrete context to run the Patriots offense? Forget about some kind of abstract, you know, what's your quarterback? Because that's what we're dealing with. I mean, would you take another quarterback and just insert him, even if he was playing, let's say, as Russell Wilson, you know, at an MVP level? Would you trust him to run the Patriots offense?
Yeah, give him a week.
Yeah.
I think he could figure it out.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson would be fine.
I think he
Patrick
could.
Patrick Mahomes. But you could say that about.
There are those who thought Garoppolo was good running this system.
No, I think the elite guys, for the most part, you could put him in.
They could go in either way.
Yeah, I think you could. Now,
Brady could go to Seattle and be good.
Yeah,
and
Kansas
Russell
City.
Wilson could come here and be good.
You wouldn't be doing as much read option with Brady. Yeah,
right.
But you would tweak it to the best of their ability.
Kansas City, you could plug Brady into Kansas City's offense.
Whereas,
and they would roll.
Jared Goff, I think, is being proven out to be an example of if you put him in Cleveland with that coaching staff, with that play calling, and with that offensive line, he would look just as bad, if not worse, than Baker Mayfield.
Right. But if you put
Mahomes, very confident in that.
Wilson, or Brady in Cleveland,
they'd be better. They wouldn't be undefeated, but they'd be better.
No, they would be. But they would be. I think they would be one of those teams that we said, here's a good team in the NFL.
Right.
Jose's in Providence. Hey, Jose.
Hey, how you doing, Dale? How you doing, Keith?
Good. What's going on?
The reason that I call him is Wiggy.
Yo.
I like you, but sometimes you give me a freaking headache. No, really. You give
okay.
me a headache.
Yeah, yeah, well, all right. Okay.
All right, get
pop an Advil. What do you,
right,
what do you
exactly.
want from me?
I take Excedrin all the water. Time.
What, wow. Why this time, Jose? What's the problem?
You see the Patriots, okay, they're a great team.
Right.
Yep.
Balance. Yeah, they had the greatest quarterback ever. Balance. But they haven't beat anybody. Look at the team they beat.
No, Buffalo's beat a good win. Buffalo's a better
Bills
win
are,
than we thought.
Bills yeah, are 4-1.
That's the only thing. That's the only thing they're giving a little bit of trouble.
All right.
Okay, so what's
that's
the point?
The point is there's more teams in the NFL, even in the NFC, they are good teams. Not great, good.
Dale just went through San Francisco's schedule. Who have they beaten? You went through New Orleans, Seattle. Who have they beaten?
I'm going to say New Orleans. New Orleans, they beat Seattle. And Seattle.
Yeah, New Orleans. No, he gave you New Orleans.
But I gave you New Orleans. I said
And with a backup quarterback.
Everybody said, Jose.
It's unanimous. New Orleans is good.
New Orleans is good. New Orleans is one of those teams. But we talked about San Francisco. We talked about Seattle. When you look at their wins and you look at their schedule, they're no different than who the Patriots have played.
Yeah, but what?
Usually when there's a yeah, but.
No. Yes, okay. But they said to have beat the Miami, which is like
We know the schedule.
You know,
No, they played bad teams.
Listen, they played bad teams,
but they've also smacked them around.
Buffalo was better than we thought they were.
Yes. Yeah, Buffalo
and
was better than we thought.
They are better than we think they are.
Oh,
probably.
Definitely. No, Buffalo is on that next tier down in the AFC.
But the only point is the narrative people push that the Patriots haven't played anybody, but they fail to look at some of these other good teams in the NFL.
Who's played anybody? Right. Like, so you said New Orleans beat Seattle, right? So that's probably the best win
of the bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
That's probably it. 617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran will help us talk about Michael Bennett and what's going to happen with him, because still no word. What exactly happened, other than a philosophical difference, which none of us are buying?
I think he may have insulted the man.
He may have
used some choice words.
He may have threatened physical harm.
There's a chance.
Could have been that as well. Yep. Time to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So there is a piece... on the Globe website, came out about an hour ago by Tara Sullivan. It says, this season, Tom Brady isn't the center of the Patriots universe. Can he be content with that? I know there's a narrative around here. You hear it all the time about how, Belichick wants to show he's the guy and, wants to win one without Brady. Or Brady wants to show that he's the, in Tara Sullivan's terms, the center of the Patriots universe. I don't think either of them give a damn. I think what they care about is winning.
Yeah, but don't you think part of it, like, just kind of naturally, you would want to, like, I don't think Brady would just want to hand the ball off 50 times in a game.
And obviously he doesn't do
that's
that.
That's extreme, but you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I think
her contention is here, this is a defensive-centric team,
yeah,
and that would bother Brady. No, I think he's fine.
Yeah, I don't think there's an issue at all. Every player wants to be looked at, they were a big part of why a team was able to win a Super Bowl, but Tom's going to be able to get that. Look at last year. Last year, perfect example, Super Bowl against the Rams. When you talk about that game, that was a game that defensively the Patriots showed up and showed out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you needed Tom Brady in a moment
right.
to make a few passes, he did what he was supposed to do.
It is really difficult to overshadow the quarterback, even when they're only throwing for 200 yards. Now,
right.
if you're a wide receiver that's not getting the ball as much, but like, hey, it's good for the team. Like, that guy can get lost in the shuffle. I do think it's just different for Brady, who started his career sort of one way and then sort of leaped to that next level where he is throwing for 50 touchdowns and he is throwing for 4,000 or 5,000 yards and he's having these monster seasons. And then to now kind of go back to like an 0-1, 0-3 type of offense, I think it is a little different for him. But if you're winning, I think that's going to be all you That's going to solve everything. That's
I think he's been frustrated at times with how the offense has performed.
100%.
I think he's been frustrated by how he's performed at times.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're 6-0 and they've got the best defense in the NFL, I think he's thrilled.
But I think that if, and this is just natural, if you win a game 17-10 or if you win a game 35-10, you're still 1-0. But if you ask Brady, is there a difference? Yeah, you're damn right there's a difference. He'd rather win 35-10, throw four touchdowns. Yeah, I think 100%.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
But I don't think the fact that he's not the center of the Patriots universe, her term.
Yeah.
You know, can he deal with that? Yeah.
That's fine.
I think he's sounded pretty miserable after wins, though, this year, which is kind of a different thing.
Well, he sounded frustrated.
Yeah.
If you ask Tom Brady.
Because of how he's played and how the offense is played.
But isn't that sort of the thing? Now, I don't like the term center of the Patriots universe. Like, that's kind of lame. But just the idea that he wants this offense to be one of the best offenses in football.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Of course there's nothing wrong with that, but that's the goal of his.
That's the goal of it.
His goal isn't just, ooh, we got to beat the Jets on Monday night. Like, that overall is on the list.
That is the only goal.
Well, no, I don't think it's the only goal.
So explain the Bills' response then.
I think he's frustrated that they're not doing what they can.
I understand.
That's the only goal, you said.
No, the only goal is to win. That's all that matters.
So then why is he upset?
If they win 2-0,
he still wants
the offense to perform better.
So then that's not the only goal, clearly.
Of course it's the only goal.
Then why is he mad?
I didn't say mad. You did.
I did. You don't think he was mad after the Bills game?
No.
He's been mad after most of these games.
With how they've performed.
Okay, so then there's more goals than just winning.
He was not mad that they won.
He was mad after the game, and they happened to win the game.
He wasn't mad because they won.
Well, he was mad because the defense was great. The goal. There's more than one goal. Wiggy, wouldn't you say going in, he's probably saying this is what we need. The offense wants this.
There's the first goal.
Right.
Win the game.
Of course.
That's the one that matters most.
You just said it's the only one, and now it's the one that matters most, so now you added some to it.
We'll parse it, yes.
Well, I'm not parsing anything.
Winning matters. You said it's all that matters.
I'm saying it doesn't.
His first goal is to win.
Okay.
His first priority.
So now there's more. You just said before that was the only one.
Yes, he wants to perform well.
Oh, so a minute ago that wasn't on the list.
No, you said now he was mad.
He was after the game. He was.
No, but you're also changing it.
So now you're adding goals.
I disagree.
There's only one goal according to Dale a second ago. Now that's one of many.
All right.
So what's the next goal? I think he wants to score X number of points. I bet he has goals in mind.
Would you like me to give you the second goal?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Wiggy knows. So he's been there.
The first goal. Every room has it, and we talked about this before. Every meeting room, you walk into the meeting room, and there's a thing on the wall, whether it's the defense in the offensive meeting room, it says, here's our list of goals, you know, as a group, right, as an offense.
Is there more than one?
Yes.
Okay.
So the first one is always to win.
Yep.
Then offensively, the second thing is, you know, how do we perform in the passing game,
yep,
in the running game? How many interceptions did we throw? We'd like to throw 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Right.
We'd like to have 8 yards per pass of an average for that game. We'd like to, you know, complete.
Belichick even said it after the game the other day. Oh, we ran for over 5 yards of carry. So
right,
clearly that was on the list.
Yeah, that's on
something
the list.
Something that they didn't do earlier in the year.
That's the other thing on the list. The running game, we want to average 4 yards a carry. We'd like to rush for 100 yards in the game. And then what you do is you have a thing, a red marker or whatever. Sometimes you put little sticky faces or sad faces, and you go
up and down, right, to
the box of each goal for each game. Did we win? Sticky
face.
And
I'm guessing there was a lot of sad faces after the Bills game. And then he brought a sad face up to the press conference.
There was definitely, for the offense, there was definitely a lot of sad faces, except for the winning box. You did get a smiley face there, but you probably didn't meet your goals as far as yards per pass.
Because I think, too, they're building towards the Super Bowl. So if you win the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl happens to be ugly, so be it. That's the end of the season. You won. You don't care what the score was in that game. But every game leading up to it, you're trying to be as good as possible. So it's not a win is a win is a win. Clearly, well, Brady, just listen to
him. You don't think they said the same thing after last year's Super Bowl win, where offensively they didn't play great. They probably were, hey, we're so happy we won the Super Bowl. But as an offense, we really didn't do our part. We did what we needed to do. One big pass play
to Gronk that mattered. But
collectively, if you're looking at, like I said, if you go into the room, Dale, and you look at their goal chart, they probably didn't hit on all of them. But if you went to the Atlanta Super Bowl, not the Philly Super Bowl,
right,
they probably hit a lot of their goals, but they didn't hit the one on the top. The defense didn't hit any of them. And you didn't win. But statistically, you're probably 2 for 7.
I think Brady's frustration is he knows that if the offense performs at that level, in other games this year, they won't win. He's thrilled they won. I mean, he's not thrilled with how they performed offensively.
Yeah, that's part of the game.
Almost the first thing he said was, you know, we're happy to get the win. That's
what about
goal
when he walked
one.
Up to the stage? He goes, who wants to talk about that performance? Remember when he said that?
I don't remember the exact phrase.
What did he say? Garbage performance or that terrible showing? That's the first thing he said as he was walking up.
And I think there was also a point where he said, "Yeah, we did win, but it's an ugly win."
Yeah,
you know. And I know a win is a win is a win. We all know that. But when it's an ugly win,
right? Because he's trying to build towards something, and right now he knows that they're a ways away.
Yeah,
offensively,
and he's frustrated.
Again, the team is winning.
He's upset about
because he knows he's got a defense that's as good as maybe as good as he's ever had here. And the offense is lagging behind.
He doesn't want to win 7-6.
No, he doesn't. He definitely does not.
That's frustrating.
To your point, I don't think he cared what the final score was in the Super Bowl against the Rams.
But that's that's the Super Bowl,
right?
But I think the rest of the games. But, and actually, he might have.
But even then, he does. Yes, it's a win, but you want to win, but you want to be able to perform well.
Here's him after the Bills game.
He wants to start that riveting performance.
So that was him walking up before the things even started. So
I didn't
he
hear
was miserable.
Garbage.
Riveting performance, so he said sarcastically.
Right.
So I didn't remember the exact word, but that's what he's saying.
It's like them going, hey, guess what? You played a great game even though you didn't win. No.
No, right.
No. Yeah. And it doesn't work the other way. Yeah, you won, but you played like crap. I know it is. We did win, but no.
You're not satisfied.
We're not taking victory laps because we won the game, but we played like crap on offense.
Right.
And that's the way players are. Yeah, you're happy that you won, but you're like, oh, God.
Right. This is could have been a little bit better.
Yeah. We'd like to go out there and we'd like to be almost perfect and be one of those games where, man, the offense came to play, the defense came to play, and they won in fashion and everybody feels good.
I think it's pretty clear when you look at the Buffalo performance where his quarterback rating was 45.9. He threw for 150 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. That's where he said that riveting performance and be sarcastic. He's still thrilled they won.
Despite
those numbers, we could still win this game. Because ultimately, to Wiggy's point, that's goal number one.
Yeah.
Everything else is behind and way behind.
Is he happy with the win? Yes, he's happy with the win. That is
It could have been worse is what he's thinking. Like they could have lost, and then obviously you feel worse if you have a loss on your record, but it was just as close. Like the way they performed on offense, the way he performed specifically, he's going to feel terrible about it. Remember he's talking about how awful the plane ride was home?
Yeah.
It's like you won the game, but not to him.
And that's the thing. I think that's where people have to separate, okay, winning is the ultimate goal, but just because you win doesn't mean it satisfied you.
Right.
So you agree with Tara Sullivan then? He's not happy not being the center of the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't like
universe.
That term. I would never use that term. Well, I don't think he wants to win games 16-10.
When you say being the center of the Patriots, that implies
because he kind of always is anyway.
That implies that the reason why you won is because of your performance and what you did.
Yeah.
And see, I don't think he cares that much about him being the reason and why. He wants to go out there and play well, but if they...
I think if they go score 4 rushing touchdowns and win 28-7, he's fine.
And
it's the offense scoring points.
Tara Sullivan's term. That's not him being the center of the Patriots universe. He's not throwing 4 touchdown passes. He's turning, handing off. They're scoring. That's what matters.
But he wants to be 20-25 for 225 yards. Yeah. He don't
a
want
couple
to,
of touchdowns too. He does.
Well, even
human.
Even if there's no touchdowns, like say he goes out there and he's 20-25 for 250, and every time that they figured out they got down to the 1 yard line, they ran the football, and it's 4 touchdowns. He throws 0 touchdowns, but he doesn't throw any picks. He has a good completion percentage. He looks at it like, hey, that's a good game.
Right. Right.
You know,
Tom E. Curran joins us in just a few minutes. We'll talk about Michael Bennett and more, and get his take on Brady not being the center of the Patriots universe. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Tommy Curran will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk about Michael Bennett and other things. We were just talking about the piece that Tara Sullivan wrote. None of us particularly like the headline. This season, Tom Brady isn't the center of the Patriots universe. Can he be content with that? I'll turn her phrase around a little bit.
Right.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl because defensively they just give up nothing, and it's not an otherworldly offense, and you know they're basically winning games 14-10, and they go on to win the Super Bowl, I think he'll be just as happy with ring number 7 as ring number 4 or ring number 3 or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, if you win the Super Bowl like that, like you beat the Rams 13-3, you're thrilled. You won the game. That's all that matters.
But you're not happy with your performance.
No, I don't think you are. And if the whole season goes through like that, I think he'll be really upset. It was funny. I was listening to – he was talking to Scratchy a couple of weeks ago, and he was asking him about records because he had moved into second all-time in passing yards. And he was asking about records and like what's the best record you think in the NFL? And the one that he came up with was passing touchdowns. Like it wasn't wins, it wasn't Super Bowl victories, it was passing touchdowns. And he's like, Peyton Manning had this is what he said about it.
Peyton Manning's 55 touchdowns in 1 year. I mean, that was incredible. I remember watching that, and I had held the record at that point at 50, and they just had a prolific offense. And to throw 55 in 1 year and then what Mahomes did last year, it's pretty amazing when you have seasons like that.
So I don't fault him at all for that answer.
I didn't hear how Scratchy asked it, because that sounded like he was talking about an individual record.
Yeah, what's the best record? Right? And I don't know, you could have said 6 Super Bowl rings, right? You could have said that. That's a record.
And what do you think of football is the best record to have?
Best record in football to have. I was waiting for the Super Bowl thing, and so when he said 55 touchdowns, I was like, well, he's human. Like,
but
it's very important.
He also did say to Scratchy in that same interview when he was asked about how he viewed maybe Peyton Manning, or when he used to look across the sidelines. I don't know if we have the cut, and basically go, I wanted to go out there and I knew I had to perform better than Peyton Manning because he was going to perform at
and
a high level.
Yeah, and it's because you're going kind of back and forth with another great quarterback. You're not going back and forth with a guy that hands the ball off really well.
So they won.
I mean, that's important. Like that part of it was important to him, and that's an individual stat, even though it is, as Tom would say, it all does go back to team.
Right.
Like the passing yard stat, it's his stat, but think about how many guys he's thrown to, and like he always brings it back to that. So I'm not suggesting he's selfish by any means. I just thought that was a surprising answer, and that kind of thing is important to him.
So I guess Jim then asked him the follow-up question of what was the most important record Tom holds.
The name of the game for me has always been winning, and I think that that's the one that has and always will mean the most. The goal every week is to go out there and win, and I know some weeks it doesn't always look as good as others, but the goal of the game is to win.
Yeah, because he doesn't have the touchdown record. Had he had it, he probably would say that one still. That was the first one he said.
Last year's Super Bowl, right? He goes 21-35, 262 yards, 0 touchdowns, and an interception. Now, he's probably looking at that. We won the Super Bowl, but, man, I didn't have my best performance. I would have liked to play better in that game.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. No. We did win the game.
No, you're still celebrating the Super Bowl.
We're celebrating.
That's the best thing going.
But I'm going through that game in my head. If I'm Tom Brady, man, I could have did this better. I could have did that better.
Because I'm convinced that LeBron James would rather be the MVP of the finals in a losing effort than win and have a teammate be named MVP. And I've never thought that way about Brady. Like that,
no.
That to me is the most selfish thing. And I think that would be the case. Because remember one of those years, one of the years they lost to the Warriors, he ultimately didn't win MVP. Mm-hmm. But like he was in the mix because like he had played really well and they were just getting smashed by the Warriors. And I think it's only happened once before, right? Jerry West did it in a losing effort. And I'm convinced, just from what we've heard from LeBron in his history, he would rather be MVP and lose. And that has never crossed my mind with Brady.
Yeah,
like, if he was named MVP of the Eagles series, the Eagles Super Bowl, he wouldn't have looked at that like, oh, great, I did my job. What about you guys?
Brady doesn't want what he did against the Eagles, 28 of 48, 505 yards and 3 touchdowns and lose.
And lose. Exactly. Oh,
100%. He's not going to say, oh, man, I had
my man.
Right. No, he's not going to say that. He would rather what he did against St. Louis and win, but he's still going to be frustrated about the way
he performed. But it's also fair to say that if he had that Eagles performance in a win, he would take that over everything.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to the rest of your calls on the other side. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy. Let's see what he thinks about Michael Bennett coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.